Anya's eyes popped open. She tried to sit up, but found she couldn't. Ken was already awake, and he smiled at her. She noticed that he was bound in strange ropes and started to say something about it when she finally realized they were both gagged. She glanced around the room. They were on a stone floor. The walls were plain except for torches embedded in the rock and a tapestry that hung nearby featuring hundreds of small but angry-looking deities. Anya followed Ken's eyes as he pointed out that they were not alone. The room was filled with about a dozen monks dressed in dark brown and blue kimono robes and split-skirt hakama that had been tied around their legs. They wore simple slippers, but what made them look ominous were the spears and swords they all carried. A pair of hands found Anya's ropes, and the tightness disappeared, followed by a renewed sense of pain as the throbbing increased in her shoulder and head. The hands also cut away her gag, and Anya spit it out on the floor. She looked up and saw a face she thought she recognized. It was the strange monk who had fought the schoolgirl assassins in Osaka. But this time he wasn't smiling. His face looked severe, and the baldness of his head did little to make him look jolly.
Watashi, Ataru, Temeni Ayamaru.
I'm sorry.
I thought perhaps you might speak Japanese, considering who you're with and what you're looking for.
Sorry, no.
No matter.
What about my friend?
We have to be sure that he won't try to kill us when we cut him free. We know that he is exceptionally skilled in martial arts.
Ken?
I won't do anything.
He'll be fine.
The monk nodded to one of the others, and the man knelt to cut Ken free. Anya halfway expected him to come out of the ropes fighting, but instead he simply continued to sit quietly.
Are you both all right?
Anya, your shoulder can't be feeling too good right now.
It hurts like hell. So does my head.
I apologize for the need to render you unconscious, but our success as a sect has depended largely on our ability to remain hidden from society. If my people were a bit rough in their handling of you, I apologize. I didn't realize they hurt your shoulder as well.
The shoulder was injured before your people took us, but it has been bothering her. It's the rotator cuff.
Ah, I will have an herbal remedy made that will dull the pain, both in your shoulder and in your head. Do you require the same?
No, I'm fine.
As I expected. How long have you trained in ninjutsu?
Almost 20 years.
So you are aware of how to control your pain and discomfort?
Yeah, I've used the skill any number of times.
Please get up and follow me. We have several things to discuss, and I wish for this to be concluded as soon as possible. Your presence here is jeopardizing my people.
Anya opened her mouth to protest, but then remembered that she and Ken had been followed everywhere they'd gone. Trying to argue that they hadn't would be foolish and grate on their new host's nerves. They trailed behind him as he strode down the stone hallway. The flickering torches cast strange shadows. Here and there they saw several doors carved into the rock of the walls. Where they led, Anya had no idea.
Where exactly are we?
You don't know?
No.
You're in the mountain.
Wait, so it was a series of caves I saw?
Yes. We use them to circulate fresh air into the caverns up here. But it's not a path I'd recommend using as a way in. The climb is far too dangerous for anyone to attempt.
They reached a room with a blazing hearth where thick planks of cedar had been turned into benches. A low table sat in the middle, and the monk gestured for them to be seated at it. From another area, a monk came in carrying a tray with a tea service. He set it down before them and withdrew. The old monk reached into his robe and produced a small packet of something dark and leafy.
My name is Eiji. I am what you would call the abbot of this monastery.
So there really is a monastery here in the mountains of Iga.
Eiji poured the steaming hot water over the broken leaves in the teacup. Anya watched as the water turned dark brown and a peculiar scent wafted into the air. Eiji passed the cup to her and bowed.
This will ease your pain.
Thank you. It's delicious.
As the sweet warmth flowed down her throat, she could feel the deadening effects of it begin to work on her head and shoulder.
What do you call it?
Oh, the herb is far too dangerous to discuss in detail. Someone without the proper training attempting to use it would undoubtedly kill themselves or the people they made the tea for.
Wait, this is poisonous?
If given in the wrong dosage, absolutely. Most medicines are both a curative and a poison, to some extent anyway. So please don't be shocked when I tell you that.
Just so long as Ken here doesn't have to haul my corpse back down the mountain.
Which brings us to the question of your traveling partner here, who has thus far said very little. You have questions, no doubt.
It's here, isn't it?
I like your candor. Over the years, we have found that those people who find their way to us are usually anything but honest. And when they attempt to recover the Vajra, they inevitably fail. Simple honesty is always a good way to start out.
I have come a long way to find it.
No doubt. But why do you want it?
It belongs to my family.
Are you telling me that you are a member of the Yumagakure Ru?
Ken bowed.
I am the last member of the family. My name is Kanichi Ogawa.
If that is true...
Ken stood and pulled off his shirt. He turned, and in the firelight, Anya saw the small tattoo over his left shoulder blade. It looked like some of the samurai family crests that she'd seen over the years. Eiji peered closer and then leaned back.
You have the correct mon for the family. But then again, any artist could recreate that.
There are so few people who know about the crest, let alone where to position it. Such a theory holds no water. I am the last male heir to my family name, marked at birth using bamboo needles to deliver the ink under my skin. The tattoo has been with me since I was born.
I see. Please, sit down. I apologize for my rudeness, but surely you would admit that we have had our fair share of imposters over the years. I find it difficult sometimes to remember that there are truly honest people still left in the world.
What you and your people have done for my family has been exhausting and invaluable for millennia. I certainly understand your readiness to suspect anyone who claims to be the rightful heir to the Yumagakure Ru.
The same monk reappeared with trays of fish and rice.
I'm afraid our diet doesn't have a great deal of variety, but we can offer you the freshest fish and rice and vegetables. I'm sure you will be happy with how it is prepared.
Anya picked up a set of chopsticks and dove into the rice and fish, carefully plucking bits of meat and vegetables from the tray and chewing them.
I didn't realize how hungry I was.
That is another side effect of the tea you just drank. It makes you rather hungry.
What the heck did I just drink? Cannabis tea?
Of course not. But it is a potent appetite stimulant. Such a thing is necessary anyway for you to recover.
Ken ate as well, but Anya could see that he wasn't very hungry.
Ken, are you okay?
Yeah. Eiji, how many people have come here pretending to be the rightful heir to my family's name?
Probably 20 since I've been here.
That many? I never realized it would attract so many people.
The lure of power is extremely strong. The promise of wealth and fame is sometimes too much for someone to handle, and they retreat to the lesser realms of deceit and greed.
When did you get here?
A long time ago. I came from Nepal.
Nepal?
We are not without our own support systems. There are other monasteries like us scattered around the globe. In the remotest areas, we find homes and methods for preserving our particular traditions.
And what are those traditions?
We are warrior monks. We do not follow the same path as so many of our supposed brethren. We eat meat, and we practice martial arts. That alone makes us unique.
And here in Japan, are you the only monastery?
North in Hokkaido, there is another. Again, built within the mountains where we have access to fresh water and clean air. The monastery in Nepal is built near Everest. My brother Silen is the head monk there.
It's fascinating to think that there are still secret societies like this alive and functioning.
We make no attempts to influence the world. We are charged with merely preserving our own traditions. And sometimes we are tasked with other things, like the protection of precious relics.
How did that happen?
We weren't always isolated and remote like this. Far back in history, we were one of the oldest sects operating in Japan and elsewhere. Leaders looked to us for wisdom and guidance. But as Japan and other places fell apart through domestic and civil unrest, their reliance on us shifted to reliance on might and greed. We recognized what was coming and decided the best way to preserve our own destiny would be to simply disappear into the annals of history.
And you've been here ever since?
Not here, per se. There have been other monasteries, but warlords and various other factions destroyed those. We retreated higher and higher into more remote areas, until we at last found places that could protect us, as much as we protected the places.
You protect the places, too.
The legend of the Copper Swamp Vampire is one of our finest. The howls you heard outside? They did a good job, did they not?
Definitely.
We are guardians of the land. This place is vital to our survival. And nowadays, we are vital for its survival as well.
What happened to all the people who claimed to be me?
They died, of course.
You killed them?
Of course not. We didn't have to kill them. We simply showed them how to get a Vajra. Their greed and deceit took care of the rest.
How so?
Oh, you'll find out soon enough.